entertainment news for you.
Which is brought to you by
All Pro Foundation Repair.
And here he is, Dave.
Thank you. And I pray that one Gordon Keith is on the line.
I am here.
Hey, Oreo.
It's such great news. Hey. The Rant Revival officially begins with E! News. And this is a story that we have covered here on E! News before, but we haven't talked about it in a while. It actually had sat on a kind of an offshoot of this about an employee that there were, I guess, direct messages between employees in Florida that were revealed about how they were gleefully ripping off customers.
Oh, dear.
But we're speaking of Live Nation, the concert promoter.
The behemoth.
Yes. They own Ticketmaster. They own venues. They are a booking agent. They are a one-stop shop. And this week, a jury found that Live Nation and Ticketmaster indeed have been operating as a monopoly, and that their dominance in the live events and ticketing industry is due to that monopoly. It's obvious, but it was found in a verdict in a New York federal court.
So wait, why don't the four of us get together and make a little push to get in that space?
Start our own little ticketing company?
Why not?
Start buying up venues?
I've got like a hole punch.
Yeah.
We're going to need some of that typewriter money, yeah. Gordon.
Yeah. Gordon has typewriters.
Jeez. Okay. So I have to admit, I don't understand how there's only these two big companies, or I guess the same company. And
yeah, well, they merged a while back, like maybe 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah, sounds right.
So the judge will now hold a second trial to decide what remedies are warranted, and it could lead to breaking up the monopoly, much like AT&T back in the day, where they split up the company.
Right.
And
now we have AT&T and Cricket.
I don't know what. I can't remember what happened there. So Live Nation says that they are going to appeal any unfavorable rulings, obviously. But the Justice Department and 39 of the state attorneys general were in the original lawsuit.
If I would have been in that room today, I would have taken a nap. I would have done my fourth period history nap in high school.
And so they sued Live Nation in 2024. And in the second week of the trial, the Justice Department, this was a few weeks ago, they reached a settlement with Live Nation. And so a handful of the 39 states that were also in the lawsuit, they signed the deal, but more than two dozen, including Texas, did not sign the deal and carried through with the lawsuit.
So we're seceding.
We are seceding.
Finally.
So under the DOJ deal, Live Nation agreed to allow competitors like SeatGeek and StubHub to offer tickets to their events. And they also pledged to cap ticketing service fees at 15%. And they also included a $280 million settlement fund for damages. So I don't know if, like, if you've ever bought a ticket from Ticketmaster, you can try to get, like, $2 back.
If this decreases my fees when I buy tickets, then I'm all for it. The end.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It is ridiculous how it is so siloed. Because it's not just the consumers, it's the artists, too.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to play ball, you have to let us do your ticketing, and you have to play in our venues, and your fans have to buy from Ticketmaster.
Yeah. And when we sell our merch at your venue, we have to give you 20% of our merch sales.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
It is ridiculous, although we have friends that work for Live Nation, so I don't want to go too hard.
It's like Tony Soprano, though, is running the whole thing.
Right. I'll give you 2 points.
All right. Also this week, we have the CinemaCon going on in Vegas. We've mentioned a few of the big news as far as things that the studios are revealing to the movie houses to get them excited about what's coming. This is controversial, as there's a movie called As Deep as the Grave that debuted their trailer at CinemaCon this week. And it's notable because it uses AI technology to raise Val Kilmer from the grave.
Robart.
So,
oh, dude, I read about this. It's so weird.
So Val Kilmer died in 2025 after a battle with throat cancer.
Way to go, Gordon.
And in As Deep as the Grave, he plays Father Fenton, a Catholic priest and Native American spiritualist. So this is set back in the West in the late 1800s, I assume. And so this is the with cooperation of Kilmer's estate, including his daughter Mercedes. And so they used generative AI to recreate Val Kilmer. They used footage provided by the family. And it shows him at various ages, because you can do whatever. It shows him as a ghost. It shows him as young, hot, 30-something Val Kilmer.
Yeah.
Older man Val Kilmer, grizzled man.
Is he, would he have been okay with this? Did he give his blessing before he died? This is so weird.
Well,
yuck.
I think they had been talking to him before he died about this movie, and obviously he couldn't do it, but they said the creative team and the writer-director said it was very much designed around him. It drew on his Native American heritage and his love for the Southwest, and his family kept saying how important they thought the movie was and that Val really wanted to be a part of it. So, and his character, it's not like he is a bit part.
Yeah.
He's in over an hour of the runtime.
Dang.
So this is the first big one that uses AI, a known star, for an extended period of time.
Right, yeah, and I wonder, you know, I don't know. I can't remember what the deal is with, not OnStar, a known star. Didn't Bruce Willis and his family sign a deal with an AI company?
I feel like you mentioned something like that, yeah.
Because now, you know, he has aphasia.
There was a rumor.
He has dementia. He's obviously never going to act again.
Yeah.
But what if we want another Die Hard?
Well, not with that attitude. Yeah, what if we need Die Hard 8?
Did he mention anything to you, Gordon, when you and Val interacted?
I never interacted with Val. That
we
was
had him on.
Corby.
Oh, it was you guys?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was just in the building and popped in, didn't he?
Yeah. It was random as hell.
Was he doing the merge?
I don't know who he was with, but he was promoting a play that he was doing in Dallas on Mark Twain.
Was he on with Don?
It was Dan that Bongino. Was pre-throat hole, right?
Yes. Yeah, he had no stoma or anything. He was great. Wonderful guest. Very thoughtful. Very gracious with his time. Loved having him. I mean, I was such a... I mean, we all probably were.
Did you know he wasn't Jim Morrison when you were talking to him?
That's all I could think of.
You know, if Val Kilmer was Stoma Man, I would have given him a hug.
You would have?
Yes.
Like, especially like Top Gun hot?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, my God. Okay, who said it better? So this is kind of making the rounds today. This is from yesterday. So yesterday, Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of War, he was addressing an audience of military personnel and I guess their families. And he asked the audience to join him in prayer as he was talking about the rescue of the downed airmen in Iran last month or earlier this month. And so he explained that this prayer was recited by the search and rescue team before they went into Iran and rescued this airman.
Okay.
So this is the CSAR, the search and rescue prayer. And so this, see if this sounds familiar.
They call it CSAR 25:17, which I think is meant to reflect Ezekiel 25:17. So the prayer is CSAR 25:17, and it reads, and pray with me, please. The path of the downed aviator is beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who, in the name of camaraderie and duty, shepherd the lost through the valley of darkness, for he is truly his brother's keeper and the finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to capture and destroy my brother. And you will know my call sign,
all right, brother,
is Sandy One when I lay my vengeance upon thee.
So he did. Amen. He did the Pulp Fiction Samuel L. Jackson prayer.
Yeah. So see, brother, if this is a better recitation of that.
You read the Bible, Brent?
Yes.
Well, there's this passage I got memorized on a fixed occasion. Ezekiel 25:17. The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who in the name of charity and goodwill shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness, for he is truly his brother's keeper and the finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee.
So great.
Yeah.
So wait, so the airmen took that prayer and then threw in some airmen jargon, and they've been using that?
Yeah, yeah. So they've been using that on this search and rescue team. And so, but it obviously became clickbait as people are like, does Pete Hegseth think that that's really from the Bible? And so they had to the point where somebody from the Pentagon had to release a statement saying that Secretary Hegseth shared a custom prayer that the CSAR prayer that obviously is inspired by dialogue in Pulp Fiction. Anyone saying that the secretary misquoted Ezekiel 25:17 is peddling fake news and is ignorant of reality.
That's fake news.
Yes. Yeah. So yeah. The actual, do you know the actual 25:17 quote?
Yeah, I mean, I know Pulp Fiction got fast and loose with it.
Yeah, so
the last few phrases are very similar.
Yeah, so the King James Version, the end of it is, and I will execute great vengeance upon them with furious rebukes, and they shall know that I am the Lord when I shall lay my vengeance upon them.
Right,
brother.
So that's the actual verse.
Yes, now I will tell you, when we watched Pulp Fiction, we did quickly go to Ezekiel to see, did Samuel L. Jackson really pull a verse out of Ezekiel? But if you are telling me that's a military thing, I don't doubt it. There's enough military things that are pulled out
of pop culture, for sure.
But what if Sam Jackson was really good at sword drills?
There's no way he could beat me in a sword drill. Let's just put it that way. And I think he would tell you he's not beating Bob in a sword
drill.
Gordon,
did you, in your church upbringing, did you ever hear about sword drills?
No. What is a sword drill?
Are you serious?
Like you're wielding the Bible as a sword.
Well, I mean, what they would do, maybe Gordon's church called it something different, or maybe they didn't spend much time on this in particular, but in our circles, the younger up and comers in the faith would learn their Bible so that they could navigate a Bible without looking at the table of contents.
Church sucks.
And then once you know the order of the books of the Bible, then you would have a race to search for a particular coordinate in the Bible.
It was like Baby Billy's Bible Bonkers. It was like a game show where they would call out a verse and you had to be the first one to find it.
Yeah, so you'd be in a whole room of like 25, 30 kids, and whoever stands up first and has it and can read it.
So you killed it.
Wins that round. I was so good at it. I don't know if I've retained my skills at the age of 53, but I'm willing.
Well, you guys, didn't you both grow up Baptist?
Yeah.
You didn't do anything like that, Gordon?
I think, you know, we did do something like that, yes.
You just called it something different?
Yeah.
More Gordon, guys.
Michael?
Yeah.
Can we get more Gordon?
Michael!
And I remember that we, you know, I'm sure Bob can do all 66 books. Can you still do it front to back?
I think so. Like, do all the books of the Bible in order?
Yeah.
That's like Corby's 77 Cowboys.
78.
It's exactly like that.
Okay, let's see if I can do it. It's been a while. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy.
Yeah, we're out of time.
Joshua,
I'm sorry.
Judges, Ruth.
By the way, Shannon Elizabeth has joined OnlyFans.
You're not going to ruin it with an OnlyFans story. Second Chronicles, Ezra, Esther.
She went live
Esther,
today.
Job,
so
Psalms, Job.
If you want
Psalms,
to see what's next, then go to OnlyFans.
Oh, we have to click
Song
what?
Solomon.
Does she got the pie and all that?
Yeah, I don't know. I, like, is she really going to show her up tops like Ezekiel she did Daniels in American Pie?
Joel, did she get naked in American Pie?
Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, for a second, right?
Are you to Revelations yet?
No, hold on. No. Zephaniah.
Are you to OnlyFans yet?
Malachi. Matthew, Mark, fans. Luke, John, Acts, Romans.
She says, I'm choosing OnlyFans because it allows me to connect directly with my audience, create on my own terms, and
all
just
right.
be free.
Just, you need money.
Ephesians, Galatians, Philippians, Colossians.
Galoshes.
Galoshes.
Yeah, Galoshes.
Yeah. What book Galatians? Is Galoshes?
By the way, we lost somebody on the Galoshes. 78 Cowboys Steve. Poster yesterday.
First, second, no Timothy.
The great John Fitzgerald, the center, died.
Oh, Titus. No.
2 yeah. Corinthians.
So I had to X him off my poster, as I do all the dead
first,
ones.
First, second, and third John, James. No, no.
You scratch
James
their face
first,
off
yeah.
like
second,
in
third John.
DTF St. Louis.
Right.
Trey.
Kind of lick them.
All right, all coming right. up next, we have Rant Bruce? Revival RFK Jr.'s sordid details.
And Bob finishes the Bible
well, Jude,
next.
Jude's in there somewhere in the
revelation. What day is here?
Whoa. The ticket just...
Is the student of evils? Is the station captor?
He's the devil's own.
It is the Rant Revival. It is Thursday. We are on location at LGE Design Build here in the Design District. And we, of course, celebrate the Rant every Thursday at this time with Gen X Davey, Corby Davidson, and, of course, our hero, Gordon Keith. This is brought to you by
Eatsy's Market and Bakery and American Leak Detection.
That's what we like to hear. All right, here we go. Thank you very much, good sir.
Go
You're
ahead,
welcome.
Dave.
You're welcome, Bob.
The tacos have arrived.
So out this week
That's code.
Is the unauthorized biography of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. entitled RFK Jr., The Fall and Rise. And I don't know, Gordon, have you guys talked about this on the Musers this week? I haven't been a good P1 of your show this week. I apologize.
We only talked briefly about raccoon penis.
Okay. we'll get there. That's kind of the ender. Yeah, so this was written by New York Post investigative reporter Isabel Vincent, and she used more than 1,200 pages of RFK Jr.'s own private diary.
Yeah, how did she have those?
Okay, so the diaries came from a trusted source. She got them back in 2013, and the source was a friend of Mary Richardson, Kennedy's second wife, who took her own life in 2012. And the source that gave these diaries to Isabel Vincent said that Mary Richardson took the journals for insurance during their divorce, that she knew where they were and knew there was damning information in there.
Okay.
And so she held them as kind of ransom as they were fighting over assets, I suppose.
This is why you should never write anything down. Ever.
Yeah, does anyone here have a diary or a journal?
No.
I know you have a Sturm stack.
Well, I definitely like to document my thoughts in a moment in time, but I probably would stop short of raccoon.
Gordon, you seem... raccoon penis. You seem most likely to have journaled, but you also seem like most likely to have journaled and given it up after two sentences.
No, I actually do have a journal, and I do handwrite a journal, not just in the computer.
How many pages at a time? Because I can't write more than two sentences without my hand cramping.
Like, ow, I quit.
I'll usually write, you know, I keep a daily just kind of, log of stuff that goes on, but then I'll when I actually journal, it's, you know, three pages or so.
Do you ever go back and like, oh, that's what I did that day?
Yes.
How often do you call it a manifesto?
Well, I try to avoid that term, but that's basically what it is.
Yeah, when it starts veering into manifesto territory, right, you need to take a break.
Yeah. Yeah.
Step away
yes,
for a minute.
You need to go get
exercise. A daily manifesto.
Okay, so some of the highlights that are featured in this unauthorized. He has not commented
no
on
No part
this.
Of it.
He has refused to authorize.
So it talks about his struggle with addiction, his substance abuse. And so at the tender age of 15, he was already experimenting with amphetamines and LSD. Later, he moved on to meth and dope.
Well, dope? What's
I guess
dope?
I guess weed. I don't know.
Dope?
Well, dope used to refer to heroin.
Okay. All right. So, yes, heroin was something that he got into, I guess, as in his late teens, early 20s, and he, in fact, is the one who introduced his brother David to heroin, and David later died from a heroin overdose.
So boy, that would be tough to carry. Oops.
That's a weird last name, David to heroin.
Man, I bet you the Kennedys can get some good stuff.
Yeah, I guess. There was a biographer, David Horowitz, who said, Bobby held David down when David was 13 and shot him with heroin.
Oh, my God.
What a funny prank.
Yeah, I think that's a good prank.
And now you're addicted to heroin.
Yeah. He also was arrested.
Good luck in your baseball game.
He also was arrested for selling a joint to an undercover cop.
Why would a Kennedy be selling a joint?
Well,
ever.
By the time he got to college, he was not only a full-blown drug user, he was a dealer. And he dealt cocaine, heroin, and he also liked to do speedballs, the combination of heroin and cocaine.
Okay.
What a ne'er-do-well.
How old is he? In his 70s, right? 72, 73? He's older.
I'm 72.
Oh, he joins us now.
But I think that he obviously was growing up at a time when that culture was pretty kicking.
Yeah.
Right?
And that's what killed Mark Tuane, right? A speedball?
Yes.
Was it?
I don't know about that. I know River Phoenix died of one, and so did John Belushi.
I feel like...
I appreciate Dave asking me, though.
I feel like Tuane and Nikki Sualua were doing ecstasy. I'm almost 100% sure ecstasy
right.
And something else was going on.
Yeah, I thought there was a cowboy that was doing speedballs, but I can't remember who
you might
was.
Be thinking Nikki Six.
You.
That's probably true. Also... He talks about his lust demons.
Okay, wait. Did he go to Princeton in college?
I'm not sure.
I'm sure he's a Kennedy. He went to Ivy League schools. But that just shows you right there. This dude is a full-on junkie / drug dealer. And I think he was Yale or Princeton or something like that. Like, hey, can you get my Kennedy in here? Yeah, sure.
Well, Coach, did you ever see him at Princeton?
Jason Garrett.
I don't... That's just weird. I don't know.
You can journal about that later about how you were offended that you just need
dear manifesto. Bob really wronged me today.
Bob wanted me to perform like a monkey.
Dear manifesto.
Rise, manifesto.
Okay, so he talks about his lust demons, and so. It talks about how he cheated on his first wife, Emily Black, with his second wife.
Oh, that's
and
hot.
And then he cheated on his second wife with his current wife, Cheryl Hines.
Oh, no. No. So she broke Larry David and her up.
And also numerous infidelities throughout. And this will sound familiar. In the back of his diary, he had a conquest log.
Oh, boy.
Where he would... jot
Bob
down
keeps one of those.
The name of
it's very boring,
his
though.
The name of his conquest, and then he would put next to it a sequence of numbers 1 to 10, which he had a special code that each number from 1 to 10 denoted a different sex act. So he would have a number code of all the things that
points.
He did with that person. Yeah, it was points for sex.
By the way, RFK, in the midst of being a heroin, cocaine, all of it junkie, and dealing, graduated from Harvard.
Oh, Harvard, not Princeton.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, he would sometimes have as many as 3 entries per day. three different women. What,
why are we? We're losers,
right?
We're so lame.
I want to say, though, if you are in your late 60s, early 70s, and you're obsessed with shirt off bodybuilder guy, there's a chance you've logged every sexual conquest in a notebook somewhere.
There's no doubt.
And finally, there is a passage that reads, I was standing in front of my parked car on I-684 cutting the penis out of a roadkill raccoon, thinking about how weird some of my family members turned out to be.
Hmm.
Why was he doing that?
And while he was chopping off the raccoon penis, his kids were in the car waiting for him. So he sees a dead raccoon on the side of the road. Hang on, kids. Pulls it
over
his shoulder.
Hold on, I want its penis.
What is daddy doing?
Well, he wanted to study what a raccoon penis looked like.
But you wouldn't.
And while
just
he's sawing on it with his drywall knife, he's thinking, boy, some of my family members are really weird.
Would you just take the whole raccoon if you wanted?
Yeah, why would you just not just stuff it in the trunk and then you later analyze it?
Now, there was a time when I was on a long road trip with some buddies.
Here we go.
You know.
And we saw a roadkill raccoon.
That's my band.
And one of my buddies, we pulled over, one of my buddies cut off its tail and tied the tail to the antenna of the car.
Mm. Sick.
Okay. Very respectful.
By the way,
you know, it's like a coonskin cap, but for your car.
Have you guys seen what he looked like? Now he looks
nothing
like kind of
ween.
Old, beefy dude, like Bob was saying, just old workout guy.
Shirtless with jeans.
So this is 25 years ago. Look how much he looks like his dad. That is weird.
Yeah, what happened to him?
Roids.
He looked like Bobby Kennedy.
Kind
of like Dan McDowell,
so
Bobby Kennedy.
So add the raccoon penis to the story about the dead bear that he threw in his trunk.
Oh, that's right. He's obsessed with wildlife genitalia.
And there was, what was the story about the dead whale, Gordon? Do you remember that?
Yeah, he was at I think he saw some report or heard it on the radio that there was a whale that had washed up on the beach. And so he was with his family, and they were like in a minivan. And he drove out there to where this whale was and used a chainsaw to cut off its head and strapped it to the top of the family minivan. And they were driving down the highway, and his daughter said
off?
That every time he would hit the brakes, all this whale juice would come pouring into the car.
Gross.
Whale
and
juice.
It just was so rank.
Oh. Well, he loves nature.
Yes. In the end.
He loves being shirtless with jeans on and taking saunas with Kid Rock.
Wow.
Although I heard that he just appear in front of Congress or something, and they say he's shaking pretty bad, so I don't know if he has a diagnosis that he hasn't
Parkinson's
announced or something like that. Yeah. Just
man.
Sad.
The worst part about his shirtless photos, he's always in jeans.
Yeah. 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 He doesn't have active wear.
Yeah, if you're pants only guy, which
pants.
I know Gordon could relate to, I just don't know if you should also be shirtless guy.
No, it doesn't work.
Like, you have to choose a lane.
Right.
And if you're not going to show us your kneecaps, we don't need to see your nipples.
Put that in your manifesto.
Boy, how many girls has Bob said that to?
First kneecaps.
Let's see those kneecaps,
then
girl.
Nipples. All right, are you doing Twitch tonight?
Yes, tonight, 7:35, twitch.tv/actualgordonkeith. That's my name on there, Actual
awesome.
Gordon Keith.
All right,
so, yeah,
buddy boy.
Tune in.
We appreciate it. We'll see you. We love you. There he goes.
Thank you,
guys. Love you. Bye.
Bye.
From your morning musers.